Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Josh Gottbaum, Executive Associate Director and Controller, the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. Well, in this segment, let's talk about OMB. How do the management and how do the budget and management side of OMB work together?
All the time. As I said, OMB has a number of missions, one of which, the part for which it is best known, is to put together the budget, and the preponderance of our staff spends most of their time doing that. But we also have as a mission to make sure that all of the management mandates of the president and the management mandates of law are followed out. And the way we do that is by a matrix organization. We have what we call the resource management offices, the budget offices, which is the largest part of OMB. These are folks who are tasked with having an agency relationship. They are required to know, they talk every day with the Department of Health and Human Services or the Department of Housing and Urban Development, et cetera, and they'll know the programs in it. And then we have a set of management offices, procurement, financial management, which I run, and information and regulatory affairs, whose job is to be a combination of internal and external consultants. They have expertise in information systems. They have expertise in financial systems. And what they do is they work with the relationship folks at the RMOs to review agency actions, to encourage agency actions, et cetera. So that, for example, when as we did this afternoon, we met with the Department of Treasury to talk about all the financial systems that they are modernizing. I had the budget side of OMB there, who have been working to get adequate funding for financial systems and other systems for the IRS and others, along with the folks in OFFM and other parts of OMB whose expertise is management and management process. And it's the leveraging of the two combined with the leverage that's provided by the budget process that really gives OMB its ongoing influence.
You just mentioned that as controller, you direct the Office of Federal Financial Management. Can you tell us about this office and its functions?
10 years ago, Congress set up the Chief Financial Officers Act, and it was a very good idea. They said the federal government ought to adopt some of the practices of private business. They ought to have CFOs. And in addition, within the Office of Management and Budget, it established the Deputy Director for Management, the senior management official within OMB, and the controller, my job, and the Office of Federal Financial Management. And OFFM's job is to be a combination of cheerleader, steerer, guide, and critic for improving financial management in the federal government. Because we have come a very long way, but we have a really long way to go. So we do a combination of established standards for accounting for the federal government, establishing standards for systems, financial systems in the federal government, coordinating the activities of interagency councils like the Chief Financial Officers Council and the Council of the Inspectors General. And so what we do, again, through a combination of setting standards, providing guidance, asking tough questions, and just convening and coordinating is to, in OFFM, is to encourage improvements in financial management. There have been many, many, and there are many more yet to go.
What kind of interactions does OMB have with the agency?
All kinds. OMB, as I said, is a relatively small organization. It's about 500 people. Most of them are extremely high-quality career civil servants. A few of us are the temporary Christmas help politicals. And what you find is that OMB's involvement with agencies goes at all levels. Jack Lew, the director, talks all the time with cabinet secretaries. The deputies and I talk with deputy secretaries, and the career staff at all levels works with all levels of the agencies to track budget execution, to track program execution, to make sure that agencies are in fact following through on the Government Performance and Results Act or the Clinger-Cohn Act or whatever. And so what you find is that there are a myriad of relationships for a myriad of purposes, everything from coordinating an agency request for legislation that might affect another agency's view. So we have a group of folks, fabulously skilled, whose job it is to recognize that when an agency proposes legislation, what other agencies might be affected by it and get their views before the administration sends it to Congress. We have a similar group of folks, the Budget Review Division, whose job it is to take all the budget requests submitted and reviewed by the rest of OMB and put them in a single template so that the president can actually make decisions about the various choices he has to make. So there are discussions about programs and initiatives. There are discussions about expenditures and timing. There are discussions about systems and compliance all the time.
What lessons have you learned about interagency collaboration?
First, that communication matters intensely. Communication at all levels matters intensely. What we found is that when there is a problem, it is most frequently because one level of an agency was talking to OMB or to another agency, but there wasn't a similar free flow of conversation at another level. So that two cabinet secretaries were talking and thinking they'd reached a really terrific agreement, but either they hadn't communicated to their staffs or their staffs had not communicated to each other. And as a result, what seemed like a great agreement turned out, in fact, to be ships passing in the night. So the first rule is that there needs to be communications at all levels. Second one is that this is a federal government that combines, and I should say this also applies to communications with the Congress. Second rule is that this is a government which has a layer of political policy oversight on a career staff. And if there is not extensive, rich communication, if there's not real comfort between them, things just break down. And so what we found is that it's very important that the career staff continually talk to the political staff and talk to the political staff in the Congress and elsewhere, that communication across those lines, unless it's frequent, unless people know each other well and can judge when something is really impossible as opposed to really difficult, then we don't do as well as we should.
Well, great. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.